right, everybody. Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited here on the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. I, of course, am the host for tonight, Doug Hummer. It is a settle it in the ring, but it's adult animation style. It's The Simpsons versus Family Guy versus South Park. And joining me, of course, I will, of course, be a judge for this evening. Joining me is one of the other judges, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
All right. Eric is here.
He's going to help you.
All right. Representing Family Guy is Tyler.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
All right. Representing The Simpsons, back after a long layoff, Kenny's here.
Hello, everybody. Your winner has come back.
Yeah. And representing South Park, the guy isn't here yet because he was stupid enough to take a work shift.
But Baron will be here shortly.
So, all right.
Yeah, so stupid to make money as opposed to doing the free podcast. What a terrible decision.
Unprofessional, if you ask me.
I asked him to do the show because he told me he was off. Right.
I know, I'm just saying. Relax, pal.
All right.
There he is.
All right. Phone to you, Beyond. Hi, Baron.
Hey, Baron, so, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Baron will be representing South Park. I mean, he's already getting a point deducted for taking a shift today.
That's fair. The overtime over.
All right, raise stupid kids. All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, or every Wednesday night, mixler.com/dirtsheetdudes, around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. Saturday nights at 9:30, you can catch them for the Hollywood Hangout, mixler.com/Hollywood Hangout. Listen to us. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night, we're going to be rebooking or fantasy booking 5 Royal Rumble matches. 94, 97, 2000, 2001, and one that is being determined right now in a fan vote in different groups on Facebook, including facebook.com/group/oldschoolwrestling. And various other groups. So we got that coming up this Friday. Of course, listen to us 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Saturday night for Unscripted Unlimited. Obviously, tonight's Settle It in the Ring. Next week, I think it's Eric's turn.
Yes.
So,
top 10 NFL quarterback.
All right, top 10 NFL quarterbacks next week. And, of course, Sundays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Scaredy Cats with Daniel and Mindy, which also can be found on YouTube, is gonna be the first season of the I Know What You Did Last Summer, right?
No, we're doing Better Watch Out, the movie. We switched it.
We're done.
All right. So,
well, Doug called this last night.
Yeah, the one time I don't go to him and I actually know what they're talking about, he switches it up on me. All right, and then next week, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, NFL Hard Hits with Clinton and Eric. They're going to be reviewing the divisional weekend, previewing the NFL championship weekend, the AFC and NFC championship games. So, all right, that's it for the plugs. All right, so basically, because Baron and Tyler have never done this before, and Kenny's done it once, I'll go over the rules technically of the debate.
Okay.
All right. There's 4 rounds. Each round is going to have usually, like when we do the wrestling show, you're going to have a category. What?
No. Somebody else is on.
All right. So usually... So when we do the wrestling show, there's usually each round is a question. But in this case, each round will be a different category. So there's four rounds of four categories. The first round, the first category, category for round one is going to be your show's theme song. So I'm going to throw it to each one of you one at a time. And you're going to talk about why your show's theme song is better, or why your show's theme song is the best. Each one of you is going to have a turn. So obviously, Kenny's going to talk about The Simpsons. Skidmore's going to talk about Family Guy. Junior's going to talk about South Park. And then afterwards, we're going to ring the metaphorical bell.
Yeah.
All right, and then everybody's going to everybody's going to argue as to why their theme song, their show's theme song, is better than everybody else's. Well, Kenny and Baron are probably going to argue Skidmore's going to bullshit.
That's me. I'm a bullshitter.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why we got you for this episode. We want to bullshit, and we automatically thought of you. All right, round two is going to be your respective show's characters. So obviously, talk about the characters, you know. And so, and then round three will be the show, your respective show's most classic episodes.
Yeah.
It could be your favorite episodes, doesn't matter. Round four will be the merchandise that came from that show, whether it be, you know, like toys, you know, clothing, you know, any kind of merchandise. After each round, Eric, Daniel, and I will give the person who made the best argument for that particular round a point. Most points win and become the champion of the debate.
Sounds good.
Okay. So, since he called in first, Lord help us. We're going to start with the Family Guy representative. That would be Tyler. And Tyler, talk about Family Guy's theme song and why it is so great.
Okay. Let's see here. I didn't know I was going to go first. I'm more of a rebuttalist myself, but where do we start? I guess, you know, Family Guy, the great thing about Family Guy is how their theme song is always different throughout the season. Between, you know, Peter getting a dancer pregnant, Stewie getting kicked out of the theme song, rapping the theme song, you know, Cleveland kicking out fucking Mort out of the theme song. You know, they just keep switching it up. It's not, you know, just the same old, every day, in and out type thing, you know. And the theme song actually won, well, it was Annie Award nominated. So that's pretty cool, if you ask me, in 2000.
Okay. All right. Kenny, you're up. Talk about the Simpsons theme and why that is such a, you know, classic TV theme song.
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's written by Danny Elfman, who is a highly respected. He's done Batman movies, Star Wars, a bunch of other stuff, and you know, so he did this little musical theme. It's great because, you know, there's no lyrics to remember. It's just a simple melody. You basically get to see almost a good majority of the characters people love and care about in the opening. I mean, it's like, out of all the strength of the show, it's like the least important part of it. And they do the fun couch gags, which are fun, you know. They do something goofy every time. Sometimes they're really bizarre, like when they let John Cristofolusci animate them, or they did one with actual real people standing in for the characters, and so they do some crazy stuff, and it's good, it's fine, it's strong, it's a thing that you recognize. There's only one lyric, it's The Simpsons, it opens out in the town. I really don't like what they've done with it recently, where they kind of changed it up and made it new, and all the, you know, the newer animation, but hey, it's fine. It's great. Great stuff.
Okay. All right, Baron. Talk about the South Park theme song and what makes it so great.
Well, the South Park theme song also changes up sometimes. Well, like throughout different seasons, it changed up. But like also just different episodes, like certain ones, they just change it to match that episode. Like the one with the Goth Kids. And also it's written by Primus, which is pretty sick.
Okay. All right.
I would argue that it's probably catchier than the other ones too.
All right, well, save that for the argument.
All right, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. All right, bullshitter, we're starting with you. Why is Family Guy's theme song better than the other two? All
right. Like you said, Family Guy is hands down catchier. You know, The Simpsons, that's lame. You know, I could write something better shitting on the toilet, you know what I mean? You know, South Park, you know, I like South Park's theme song, don't get me wrong, but come on. When people think of Family Guy, they think about the theme song, they think about the intro, and they think about, you know, the little movies that they even play into the theme song, you know? It's just, it's iconic. Everybody thinks Family Guy, thinks the theme song. And it's a classic. You know what I mean? It's just a classic. And, like I said, Annie Award nominated. Can't get anything better.
Okay. All right. Kenny, why is the Simpsons theme better than the other two?
Again, I'm going to come right out and say it. I don't think it's actually a better theme song. that doesn't mean I think it's a worse theme song. I don't think... Particularly for me, the theme songs are like what draw me to these shows. And I will admit it does lack from lyrics, but some people might think that's a plus, some people think that's a minus. It doesn't have lyrics, so there's nothing to memorize. You just listen to it. But, you know, Family Guy, if you're into lyrics, yeah, it's a little catchier to have them. Certainly, you know, Family Guy is memorable because it kind of is a joke in and of itself, and it sets things up. And South Park's is fine, and because it's got a kind of more of the Primus sound to it, it's a little more memorable. But again, it's not like this is not the make or break. This is not where the meat and potatoes is. This is not a round I feel I need to win. Okay, so do it that way.
Well, I do.
All right.
Tighten up.
Poor theme songs, dude.
All right. Baron?
Well, I mean, I still think it's catchier than the other two. And, like, I don't know. I mean, Family Guy did get nominated for Emmy. I don't know how you can top that. But, like, I still think everybody, like, knows the South Park theme song as soon as they hear it. I mean, not that they don't know the Family Guy theme song as soon as they hear it, but, like, it's, like, instantly recognizable.
Right.
And, like, just, like, what you see when you hear the theme song, like, before the episode actually starts, I think that's, like, better than any of the other two.
Okay. All right. End of the round.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come off and say it. I mean, everybody had a good reason for their for why their theme song is good. Tyler and Kenny had a good reason both as to why Family Guy's theme song is better. So he's going to get a big head right away, but Lord help us, I'm giving my point for this first round to Tyler.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
And, you know, as much as it pains me as well, I thought it was a good round. I mean, it was just when it came to kind of, like everybody, it's kind of harder with theme songs. And Kenny, he kind of, I mean, he even said that this wasn't a round he felt he needed to win. So. I don't know if I should give my point. So,
Baron, he had kind of some arguments, but he even said Family Guy was cool, too. So and I kind of feel like I'm forced to give the point to Tyler because he argued everybody else, so.
All right. Eric?
I'm going to go with Kenny. I always like the Simpsons theme song, so.
So Kenny even tried to throw the round.
He got a point.
He got a point.
That's called strategy.
This is rigged. Rigged.
I mean, the Simpsons theme song is influential as shit, though. Especially, like, Rick and Morty. Like, you can tell Rick and Morty's theme song was, like, heavily influenced by the Simpsons theme song.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Well, I love Rick and Morty.
I love Rick and Morty.
Oh.
That'll be for another day.
Yeah, we'll put that in another debate for another time, I promise. You two can fight over who gets to represent them. All right, so after round one, we got 2 points Tyler, 1 point Kenny. Baron doesn't have anything yet, but it's still early.
Yes.
And I think the strongest rounds for South Park are coming.
All right, let's get into it. Characters?
Characters are the second round. And you know what, let's switch it up a little bit. I usually keep going in the same order, right?
Yeah.
When I do this. Let's not do that.
Okay.
So let's actually start with Kenny in this second round. Kenny, talk about the Simpsons characters.
How iconic.
And how iconic those characters are, especially a lot of them being around, you know, for 30-plus years.
Okay, so basically this is where the one place I think, at least from my point of view, that the advantage is obviously goes to Simpsons. Not necessarily because it's funnier or, you know, the other shows are shit or anything like that, but because they have, although highly exaggerated, they're human enough that you recognize these people in your real life. Yes, you don't know a guy who's going to fall down the stairs or stick his hand in a toaster and not die. But you know someone who's dumb enough who just gets by, even though they're a complete blithering asshole, he gets by in life, like Homer. And you know a little punk kid, and you know a little smart-ass kid, and you know a long-suffering housewife. And they make them, even in that dysfunctional thing, they make this family, at least, is real. You buy the love between them. You buy the love between brother and sister, mom and dad, parents and children. They make up a real family, and they never, the one guy, his name, David, one of the writers, he always said, the message of The Simpsons is everything is screwed up, everything is fucked up, but the world's still okay. And that is the basic idea behind the characters of The Simpsons. Now, in addition to the family, which I think, you know, probably needs the least explanation because they're so well known and they're so talked about, you have this entire town and city where and almost every side character has had a story at some point. You have, you know, from Apu, Groundskeeper Willie, Mo, Barney, Disco Stew, all these characters that, like, again, well heightened are people you know. You know a guy who's still living in the past decade, who still thinks he's cool. You know a guy, you know a local guy who, you know, owns a business who came from another country to this country. You know a person who is, you know the bartender, you know the town drunk. These are people you recognize. And because it's a real world, you feel a connection to these people. Now, granted, you know, Homer may be extremely stupid, but he's there's actually a person stupider than Homer, and that's Chief Wiggum. So I don't think that's a commentary on police necessarily, but that is, there you go. There, Chief Wiggum is the dumbest person in the town. He cleans his ears with a gun. He tries to turn on his TV with a gun. He's the dumbest person is. And then, they build a character. Again, they built characters that have emotion still, right? You can look at the stories and you see the emotion. It's the emotional connection. Now, I'm not saying it's always there, but there's an emotional connection that makes the stories make sense. A great example. It's like, I'm just going to jump a little ahead here, but you only move twice. the Simpsons move into this new town, and all this ridiculous stuff happens, but the main core of the thing is that they're miserable. Homer's very happy for the first time in his life, but everybody else is miserable. But because he loves his family, he's willing to sacrifice his happiness so everybody else can be happy. And that's why the Simpsons characters are superior, in my opinion. Again, not funnier, not necessarily better, but they have something that maybe the other shows by their very nature reject, but I can't say that. I can't say that's what it is, but that would be my guess, is that that's why their characters are superior. Not necessarily, again, that they're funnier or whatever, but that because the writers took a different approach, that's why their characters are so iconic. Because you recognize them, you care about them. This is really what it is. You care about them. You end up caring about these characters, even the, like, weird ones. Like, they did an episode where Skinner was turned out to be an imposter, and people freaked out about it. And, it's very hard to explain, but I think I'm getting it across. So there you go. That's why the characters in the Simpsons are so iconic and important and prominent as they are.
Okay.
Very good argument.
Very good. All right, Baron, we'll go to you next. Talk about the South Park characters. What makes them so great? What makes them so iconic?
Okay. Well, I forget if it was Matt or Trey, but I think it was Trey. He actually, knew a kid in the neighborhood who was, the poorest kid in the neighborhood. Always had on, the orange parka and all that. Very rarely talked. And when he did, it was, muffled and shit. And also, he had a counselor that always said, okay, and all that. That right there is iconic in itself. But also, I think everybody has a little bit of Eric Cartman in them, some more than others, but we all have at least a little bit of it in us.
I'm sitting right next
That's
to
why.
You.
Exactly. That's why Cartman is so iconic. And that's for, the parents, I would usually say that Randy's the most iconic out of all of them, just because, he just kind of, represents, all the dreams and hopes of, just adults that work and shit, or parents or whatever. But, they all bring something to the table. Kyle's, the one that's just always trying to do the right thing. Stan, he's, usually trying to do the right thing, but sometimes he cuts corners, and then Cartman is just, a dick. It's hilarious. they all have their own, families, so it's kind of breaks down into different storylines sometimes. They can take it wherever they want, just because there's so many possibilities, just because each kid has their own kind of thing going on.
Right, very true. Okay, Tyler, you're up. Talk about the Family Guy characters and what makes them so iconic and so great. He's clearing his throat.
Yep. Where do I start? There's just so many characters. There's only a thousand characters in Family Guy. You got, of course, the most iconic is Stewie. You got Brian, you got Peter, you got Lois. Meg. I just think how they play the roles and with each other and how they use those characters, but they also use the characters in different forms, when Meg went to prison, she became Prison Meg. When Lewis became a prostitute, when Peter became that prostitute, prostitute Peter. You got Lumberjack Peter. You got Stewie when he did steroids, because Peter gave him steroids at that gym, You got Shakespeare when Peter did the play, And it's just, they use all the characters in all these different ways. And how they use the characters, it makes it to where you don't watch the show and be like, there's just plain old Peter working at the toy factory, or plain old Peter, working at the beer factory. And I just, you know, and then they put in all the side characters, you know, each show, you know, a whole new character they just never knew about, you know, Brian's cousin Vinny, Vinny the dog, a mobster, you know what I mean? Who would think a dog would be a mobster, you know? And that's just how Family Guy interacts with the characters and portrays them throughout the show. You know, Joe Swanson, you know, he's a cop in a wheelchair, you know? You got the evil monkey, who actually turned out to be a good monkey, a business monkey. He was just misunderstood, and that's what happened. You know, you got these characters that you think something of, but in all reality, you know, they were just misportrayed, like Death. How Death came off to be, you know, that bad guy, touchy, you know, you died. You just needed love, you know. Go on all the dates, touch them, they died. He was just lonely, and that was his problem. Where else? You know, there's just so many characters, you know, the giant chicken with Peter. Misunderstood. Just misunderstanding. You know, just, it's so hard to just explain everything. With all the characters Family Guy has, you know, Herbert the pervert, he's not misunderstood. He wanted to molest all those kids, and we know that. But it's a good way to portray it into the show. You know what I mean? You know, Chris is dumb enough to go down to that basement, but that was his fault for getting locked down there. There's so much stuff, man. Then you go into, like, Lois's dad, you know, the rich family. You got the rich family, you got the poor family, you got Consuela, you know, the maid. Then they bring her into Consuela's family, so there's 10 more characters. And they just, they betray all these characters, and it's just crazy. Crazy to think about the depth that it takes to just have this show with over, you know, 1,500 characters. And it's just iconic. You know? You can't even think of all the characters on here.
All right. Now that everyone gave their initial pitch, let's give it right back to Tyler. And Tyler, tell me why your characters are better than the other two. Why are South Park and Simpsons characters, they don't match up to Family Guy?
All right, let's see here.
Let's draw some blood.
You're starting okay, with the first person.
Let's start with the fat guys. You know, the only competition I would say for Peter is Eric Cartman, just because he's funny. You know, Peter's funny and he's fat. Eric Cartman's funny and he's fat and he's a toddler. But, you know, the Simpsons, he's just dumb. You know, and it's just kind of, it relates to your neighbor from across the street that drinks too many beers at 11 p.m. You know how it is. So I would say, you know, Peter's just up there for the main character. He's up there. He's funny. He's fat. He relates to everybody, you know. Lois, the hot wife. So that's where it beats at South Park. Eric can't have a wife or a girlfriend because, you know, he is in school. But Peter's got the hot wife. So it gives you that realism to where, you know, you can be fat, but as long as you're funny, you can have a hot wife. And then I know you're going to go with the Simpsons, oh, you know, Marge, yada, yada, yada. Well, she sounds like she smokes a pack a day. that just deletes that altogether. Then you got the kids. So I'm not even going to count, you know, Meg. Because that's just going to push me further down the line here. But I will say Chris. Chris, you know, he's the dumbass. He's the one at the family reunion where you're going here and you're like, wow, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. And I think we need that. And it portrays how the show just hits every single last spectrum, you know. Then we're going to go to Stewie, the evil genius. And I think as much for The Simpsons, that would rival not the baby, whatever the baby's name is, because I really don't know, but it rivals Lisa. But it rivals Lisa just because of his genius. You know, not the homosexuality, more like Stewie's out here building, you know, time machines. He's out here going and shooting Hitler in the face. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about. And that's just the main characters. And then we can go, you know, the side hustles, you know, when we go to the cutoffs and you get George W. Bush in there, you know, you get, you know, Prison Meg. When Meg went to prison, she came back and she just ran the whole house. That, you know, they switch it up. You know, Brian, Peanut Butter Jelly Time Brian, that, well, haven't done in a while, but still, that is just something where it's, they're using these characters and they're switching it up. And I really don't see that so much in these other shows. And when they use these side characters, you know, you got Cleveland, Quagmire. Everybody knows a Quagmire, you know, and it's just good because they portray that Quagmire in the show. You know, he's like the animated Charlie Sheen. You know what I mean? And yeah, you know, these characters just betray, honestly, your wife. You know, like, oh yeah, I know a Joe. You know, strict, tough guy, yada yada yada. You know, I know a Quagmire. You know, I know a Cleveland. You know, the black friend that owns, you know, like bakery. You know, and it's just like, it's a great show. I love how they use the characters, and just amazing. Amazing show. Makes you feel connected.
Man, why is South Park better than the other two in terms of characters?
Okay, let's take it back to when Cartman and them were actually toddlers, and they were still talking their shit, like, talking about, like, hey, let's play fireman. Cartman's just like, you can't be fireman. And then 5-year-old, 4-year-old Kyle, he's just like, shut up, fat ass. And Cartman's like, don't call me fat, you stupid Jew. 4 years old, he's talking the same shit.
We could say Jew on the podcast. Wish I would have known that.
There's a quota. We can't go past 6. We get 6 Jews.
That's 7.
Ah. That's 7. Okay. Well, then let's take it to the other extreme with, like, the specials, and now they're all adults. They did that pretty well. Especially Butters. Like, adult Butters, they just hit a home run with adult Butters. Just, like, the diversity of it, though, like, that just goes back to, like, how they can just take it in, like, any direction they want. They just opened up so many possibilities like that.
All right. Kenny, why are the Simpsons characters better than Family Guy and South Park characters?
Okay, so I'm going to there's several things I want to address here. Number one, now by their very nature, South Park and Family Guy are influenced by the Simpsons just because every adult animated show is influenced by the Simpsons because they did it first. Now, secondly, you have to understand that Family Guy and South Park, Family Guy more so because they were on the same network and they were direct competition with each other, they are an almost a reaction to the Simpsons characters. They set out to not write they purposely did not write them to be redeeming people, right? Like, and put it this way, there are times in The Simpsons when you would want to know some of these people. They have some interesting depth. Even the weirdest ones like Groundskeeper Willie or, you know, any of the other complete weirdos in you know, Springfield, even Moe, are interesting people that you want. There's not a single person on Family Guy or on South Park that you might, well, maybe Chef, I guess. Maybe you want to know Chef. But he's dead, so it doesn't matter. That you'd want to know in real life. As funny as they are, you wouldn't want to live next to Glenn Quagmire, especially if you were the father of a teenage girl. Even crazier.
Peter's the father of a teenage girl, and he's still best friends with Quagmire.
Yeah, and he's 12.
Well, Peter's also a fucking idiot. Anyways, it's funny because even like the nominally good redeemable character, Brian, is still just a piece of shit. Like, he's overbearing asshole. And it's like, and so, and so, in the, so in that sense, you know.
That makes the point, though.
And Seth MacFarlane came out and said, you know, that's the character he identifies with. And he said, this is what I hate about myself. so I think, you know, this is, it's kind of, you had this advantage because by the very nature of the other shows are doing something completely different, right? Now, it doesn't mean The Simpsons don't trip into, like, you know, total assholery or do bad things or do some things that piss you off. Even, you know, there's an episode, I forget what it is, the title is exactly, but it deals with the family joining a country club, and Marge is just a total bitch. Like, you hate her. The way she's acting, because she's so worried about getting in the country club and how mean she is to everybody in the family for being themselves. And it's like, viscerally, like, it's a great episode, but you really hate her. You really do. So, I mean, if the idea is to get an action, if an idea is to get the most reaction out of your characters for people, then The Simpsons does it. And that's pretty much, you know, they inspire hate and love and probably everything in between that. And I want to say, I got to tell you guys this, because I don't know if you and Daniel met him. Did you meet my friend Caleb at one of Antlin's parties?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Bearded, older fella, bearded, kind of looks like Dennis. Looks like, oh, geez. Looks like, what the hell is the guy's name? Guy from Jaws, the biologist.
Oh, okay,
Matt,
yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah,
what's his name? Not the shark hunter. Richard Dreyfuss. He kind of looks like Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, we've met the guy before.
Yeah.
Caleb, yeah. He's actually an animator. He worked on Family Guy, and he currently works on American Dad. No, he makes good money. And he, American Dad's on TBS, I think, now still.
Yeah.
But anyways, he worked with these guys, and he told me, you know, I do have a soft spot for Family Guy just because I know one of the guys. He actually had the opportunity to direct the first Star Wars episode. But for his sanity, he turned it down because he was just too much going on in his life at the time. So yeah, I kind of got a little extra inside love for Family Guy.
Well, I mean, that explains why you basically threw the first round to Family Guy.
But so that's my take on the whole thing. But yeah.
Okay. All right, Eric, we're going to start with you. Who are you giving a point to this round?
I'm giving my point back to Kenny again, because, as he said, they're more iconic than not. They're more known as in they're just more known. I mean, for me, they are. I don't watch South Park or Family Guys now.
I
mean,
he's
biased. All right, Daniel, we'll go to you.
I thought everyone had a very good argument. Skidmore definitely had an interesting argument. We might have to edit out the Herbert part, but that's okay. Kenny really hit it home with the emotional factor, and I was hoping, because I think South Park, going into this category, I thought South Park might take it, because I think their satire on each character is, just way different and probably a better version of satire than the other two shows. But I think Kenny hit it home with the fact that they do have redeemable qualities, and a Family Guy, like Peter, you might like Peter, relate to Peter, but if you look at Peter as a whole, he's kind of a fucking scumbag. So I was agreeing with some of the stuff that Kenny was saying, like that not caring about your family, like Peter, like deliberately is supposed to not care about his family and be selfish, as opposed to Homer, who's just kind of a dipshit, but he does care. So
I thought everyone argued well, but I got to go Kenny.
Okay. I loved everybody's argument, and they all made very compelling arguments. I'm going to give my point to Baron on this one. And the reason why is because I just feel like, you know, the characters in South Park, I feel like you get more humor from them. A lot of it, yes, is stupid humor. But to be honest with you,
he had a hell of a Cartman impression, too.
Yeah. Cartman is just, you know, Cartman to me just beats out Peter Griffin and to a point Homer Simpson. So this might be Baron's only point. Damn it, I'm giving it to my boy.
All right. All right.
So it's 3 for Simpsons for Kenny, 2 for Family Guy, you know, for Tyler, or yeah, 2 for Tyler, and 1 for South Park for Baron.
Oh,
so
Tyler should have. Are you sure about? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because even though you tried to throw round one, Eric still gave you the point.
Well, I didn't try to throw round one. It was the honest truth. If there was a weak spot in the category he gave us, the Simpsons weak spot is the damn thing.
Yeah. See, what Eric's trying to do is that Eric's trying to butter up to you, because when we finally fire Eric from the show, he's probably going to get you to do a competition show with him to compete against us.
Oh,
hey, so. It's American way, baby.
All right. So
I might go on their show. I'll be a guest on their show.
Hey, okay, we don't have the show yet, so let's just all count out.
All right, well, take down my number.
Okay. And steal his number from the other two.
All right. Moving on. Round number 3 is the each show's most iconic or most classic episode. And you know what? Let's start with Kenny on this one.
Okay.
All right.
Talk about Simpsons' most
be...
classic, most iconic episode.
So I'm going to do a little different twist here. There's my favorites. There's the iconic ones that everybody talks about. It's my favorites. Now, when I was younger, there was a year or two where my mom knew I was going to get a lot of the jokes on The Simpsons, so she let me watch it even though I was too young, and that was seasons 3, 4, and 5. So I remember those. Way before, you know, I remember watching those, and so, like, those, you know, everybody talks about when are the classic seasons. Maybe my favorite episode, and I think it's a classic as well, it features their most prolific guest star, Albert Brooks. It's called You Only Move Twice, and there's a lot of things that make it brilliant. Yes, it's a James Bond parody. Yes, it's The Simpsons in a different town. So there's the idea, oh, my God, are they moving forever? You know, that kind of stuff. But the thing that really sells the episode for me is Homer's new boss, Albert Brooks' character, is Hank Scorpio. And what's interesting about Hank Scorpio is he's the exact opposite of Mr. Burns. He's a really nice guy who has an awful goal, where Mr. Burns is an awful man who has a normal goal. And I think that's brilliant. Hank Scorpio treats his employees fabulously. He's paying Homer a ridiculous amount of money. He's giving them a house in all this great suburb. But in the end, he wants to take over the world. Where Mr. Burns is just an awful piece of shit human being, but he just wants to run a power plant at the end of the day and make money. And to me, that is one of the most brilliant little twists on the show, is that you get all of a sudden you get this we're going to do exactly the opposite of what you expect. And it's just a very funny episode because this guy values everything Homer says, from the dumbest things to the smartest things. He even gets Homer suggests they start using hammocks. And it's like, oh, yeah, hammocks. It's a great idea. And then, you know, and there's a subplot about Homer wanting to buy Tom Landry's hat. And just because it's Tom Landry's hat, And it's a really brilliant episode. Again, that's a great one. Season 5, when it really kind of started to get experimental, with kind of the more out there episodes, like Homer going to space and other stuff, that's a classic one where Homer goes into space because they got, you know, they got Buzz Aldrin to do a voice, and it's kind of goofy, but in a way, it's something that NASA was trying for a little bit, sending regular people into space. So it's kind of a joke on that. Another great one, I think, is called A Fish Called Selma, and it deals with Selma marrying Troy McClure. And, of course, it's a scam because he apparently likes to have sex with fish.
Well,
and Jeff Goldblum is in it as the agent, and he does, like, there's a Planet of the Apes musical he stars in, and all these, you know, jokes upon jokes, but then there's, like, you know, they did things, too, like, they did the two-part Who Shot Mr. Burns, where there was a whole mystery of, you know, they ended it in season 6, and they picked up season 7, and they answered the question. Of course, it turned out to be Maggie, which, you know, whether people like that or not, who knows? There's just like, and of course, you know, the Treehouse of Horror episode is always fun. It always either spoofs on horror movies or horror tropes or just let's do something really wacky, like let's have Homer get sucked into a three-dimensional world and have him, you know, screw around in there and be amazed by it. And that kind of stuff. You know, there's episodes that focus on Apu, who is a friend of the Simpsons, or Barney getting clean, right? He cleans up and is actually off the booze for a while, and then he goes back on, of course. There's, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. There's so many things about the episodes, but they end in ways, and they again, though, they tie into some reason. There's some emotional center to every episode, right? Even if it's ridiculous, like with the one where it's ridiculous. The whole idea of, like, yeah, this whole ridiculous big thing in the he only moved twice about this plot about taking over the world, but really it comes down to what are we going to do because everybody's miserable, but Homer's really happy. Who's going to, you know, is it right? No, and of course Homer gives up in the end and does the right thing, but like those kind of episodes, they build things onto them. There's what was it? The one episode? There's ones that are really surprisingly serious, like Bart being in one. And like they play it, there's a ton of jokes, but they also play it really straight, like how Marge is treating him after that, and like what's going on, and what is, you know, what are they going to do about it, and how are they going to resolve the problem, and is this, you know, this going to be a permanent thing? And there's all kinds of little. There's episodes even to this day when people, the quality's gone down, can find something that's worth watching or looking at, and you'll get the emotional connection. There's so many iconic episodes. It's a 30-year program. It's hard to say which one is the best, or this one has got to be seen, or this one's got to be seen. You know, just sitting here thinking, I thought of 5 more that I didn't even think about when I started talking. So, you know, it's pretty. You will find an episode you care about. There's even one, you know, in the 5th season, again, as serious as the show, as crazy as it got, they do an episode about Homer thinking about cheating with this woman at work. And they play it mostly straight, or as straight as you can in the world of The Simpsons. So take your pick. Take anything you find. Take, you know, any season, you'll find an episode you like, and it means something, and you can connect to it. So there you go.
All right, Baron, we're going to go to you next. Talk about some of South Park's most classic episodes, most iconic, or even just your favorite episodes.
Well, like right now, I would say the most iconic episodes are like the specials, like the pandemic one, the post-COVID. See, I would say, like, I don't think Simpsons or Family Guy has anything quite like those 4 episodes, like the specials. Those for some of like the older ones, like or like Cartman joins NAMBLA or something like that. I just feel like South Park does a better job, like a little bit better of a job, just bringing light to certain things that like probably should be talked about, but also making it funny. that were like, what was the one, the one where they spoofed like Intervention, where they're all at the summer camp and Tally works there, and Tally just gets high on meth like all the time. But like, what else? I mean, certain ones have been banned because like, because of things like Muhammad, or like you're not allowed to draw the Prophet Muhammad, and like supposedly they actually like sort of did it, like not really, but like kind of, and that's why the episode got banned. I feel like Family Guy and Simpsons have never like really pushed that boundary yet.
I mean, that is true.
I think back in like season 5, they had another one get banned for that reason.
All right. Tyler?
Hey, real quick, hey.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Let me throw this in here, I think, because you brought up, Bram brought up a really good point about South Park. They can, because of the style of animation they do, they can do, like, ripped from the headlines on-topic episodes, because they don't, it doesn't take, you know, 10 months to animate an episode of South Park. Where Family Guy and Simpsons, it takes 10 months from date when they write a script, so they give it to the guys here, and then they send it over to Korea, and they animate everything else and send it back. You know, it takes 10 months, but because of the nature of, it's one of the strengths of South Park. They can do a pandemic special because, or whatever special, or address a topic right now, because it doesn't take 10 months to make an episode.
Yeah, they use that to their full advantage. Yeah, I would too. I agree with that.
Right.
All right,
Kenny, you know, giving out the helping hand. Kenny's such a generous guy, helping out the opponents. Heart of gold. Heart of gold, that man. Speaking of not necessarily hearts of gold, Tyler, we go to you. Talk about some of Family Guy's most classic episodes, most iconic episodes, or just some of your favorites.
All right. Well, before we start any of that, I will say, when you were talking about South Park, about Family Guy hasn't crossed the line, that's because Fox blocks those. Like, my favorite joke was the one where it was something about Brian and Peter were talking, and a woman was saying, Brian asked about the woman asking for directions. And then Brian said, well, what if it was a woman is raped? And Peter said, well, maybe she should have thought about that before asking me for directions.
I remember that.
Yeah, they do have a lot of the controversial ones, but, like, Fox will not let them on the fuck.
Yeah.
On the
well,
show.
Maybe that should be a point for South Park, just because they're on a better network. Like, Comedy Central aren't pussies like
that. Yeah, Comedy Central is much better than Fox and all that fucking bullshit.
Fox. It's like the only thing Fox is going for is Family Guy.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, too, that's Simpson. A legal thing. As a network television, Fox is under different laws and rules than cable television. So, you can do things on cable that you would not get in trouble. That if you did on, like, network television, you'd be fined severely.
Yep. Yep. But, all right, what are we on? Most classical episodes, iconic, favorites, whatever?
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right. So I guess, like, we just got to say it. You didn't bring it up when you're talking about The Simpsons. Just the crossover. The Simpsons Family Guy crossover. That was a very good episode, and I enjoyed it. It's just one of those things where I do enjoy how they brought in both The Simpsons and The Family Guy. Both of their worlds collide. So I would say that's one of my favorite ones. I also enjoyed how the chicken fights between, Peter and Ernie, the chicken, how they incorporated that with, you know, Homer and Peter. They, you know, half the fucking episode was Homer and Peter fighting. You know, what's not to love about that? So I would say that's not really an iconic one to me, but I would say that's one of my favorite ones. And so I think another favorite would be the, what is it, Petergeist? You remember when they did parody of the Poltergeist? I just thought that one was hysterical. And how they incorporated, you know, King of the Hill in there when Peter rips off his face, you know, he turns into Hank Hill. You know, stuff like that that they add into these episodes that I just, you know, me personally, I think is hysterical. You know, the Native American that Peter dug up in the backyard in that episode. It's just they add stuff in there. It's like subtle, but it makes the episode. And two is where, also, which is really cool, when Robert Downey Jr. played the fat guy strangler. And the one where Lois's brother, he was the fat guy strangler. Robert Downey Jr. play. I thought that was really cool. I guess you can consider that iconic just because, you know, Iron Man played a fat guy murderer. You know, how funny is that? You can't do much better than that.
Hey.
So,
well, I mean, to be honest with you, judging from the last time we saw Tyler, Tyler has more to worry about Robert Downey Jr. than you do.
Hey. I've been hitting the gym.
Especially the size of those.
Anyway. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to have to turn on our FaceTimes, and we're going to show the audience, and we're going to jump up and down in front of our phones, and we're going to see who has to worry, okay?
I'll get seasick.
All right.
I can't jump. I'll pull something.
But, oh, my goodness. Let's talk about the Y2K episode. Just how great that they just, you know, incorporate, you know, the world shutting down and how this whole show just revolves around a Twinkie factory. It's just they make something so stupid and they just make it go on for an hour and it's just, you know, entertaining. So I think that's what I enjoy. They can make any episode entertaining. Over nothing. Classic episodes, you know, they do parodies of everything. Like the Blue Harvest with the Star Wars. They do the road trips. They do everything. Everything you can think of. And I think that's really it, you know. Just classical episodes, you know. They make parodies of everything. They make it entertaining. And they strangle fat people.
All right. Anyway, ding, ding. Time for the arguments. All right, Kenny, we'll start with you. Why are the Simpsons most iconic episodes better than episodes of Family Guy and South Park?
Okay, I'm going to give you two reasons here. And I'm going to try to explain them because these might not make sense. They're almost, one is almost completely visual. The other one is completely verbal. So this is just one of my favorite moments. The second one is the reason. So in the episode where Bart starts working at the burlesque house next to the Simpsons, there is a scene. Bart starts working at the door. He's the door guy. Grandpa Simpson comes in, and in addition to his normal clothing, he's wearing a fedora, a brown fedora, and he takes off his hat, puts it on the hat rack, turns around, sees Bart, keeps turning, back around to the hat rack, grabs his hat, puts it back on, and goes out the door. And I'm like, that was brilliant, because it makes so much sense. He puts his hat on the rack, he sees Bart, turns complete 360, back around, grabs his hat, and leaves. And I'm like, that was brilliant. That's one of my favorite moments, really. Now, the second one is the reason that the Simpsons episodes are so deep and good. It's the camping one in the fifth season where Ernest Borgnine is the guest star. And there, of course, Flanders is the leader of the troop, and Homer and him get in the same raft together. And they get lost at sea, and Flanders is going to shoot a flare gun. And Homer takes it from him and says, "Give me that. This ain't one of your church picnic flare gun firings, Flanders." And so that just that sentence implies one of two things. One, that Homer is smart enough to just make an alliterative joke, which I don't think he is. But two, for some reason, every year at the church picnic, Flanders shoots off a flare gun. And that is just a weird, like, now there's a detail. That you have just built a universe for whatever reason, some year, he just started shooting flare guns at the church picnic. And you have just built up a whole lifetime of ideas and stories from one throwaway joke in one episode.
All right. Very
and
good.
And that is
all
why,
right.
Because you just built a universe with one joke.
Right. Okay. Baron, we'll go to you next. Why are these South Park episodes better than the Family Guy Simpsons episodes?
I'm going to leave you with these two things. I think it's like the fifth season, but like back when he gets revenge on Scott Tenorman, by having his parents killed, he doesn't do it himself, but like he has his parents killed somehow, has them chopped up, and served to Scott Tenorman, disguised as a bowl of chili for a chili-making contest. Like, who does that? Like, no TV show ever has taken it there. At least not that I know of. And also, just like, just like any time, like, a significant current event happens, especially COVID, that's, like, the first one that comes to mind lately. Everybody's just always like, I can't wait to see what South Park is going to do with this, like, what are Matt and Trey about to say about this? Like, that's what it always is.
Right. Okay. Tyler, you're up.
All right. So, I guess, really, you know, when it comes to classical episodes, every show, I love all three, you know what I mean? And it's just every show works in a different way. And I like South Park because I love dark humor. Like you said, you know, I love that Eric Cartman had that fucking, you know, that rancher kill his family, chopped his body, their bodies up, and made his, you know, made him eat it. That's hysterical. And he made the kid cry in front of his favorite band, whatever it was, Skinner or whatever,
really,
right?
In radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a
bunch
of
hysterical. You know, and I like the COVID special where the cops were teaching the kids in school because of COVID, and, you know, they shot Token because he's black.
Me and Blake were just talking about the other reaction.
Yeah, and, you know, COVID. And I think that's really good about South Park. Family Guy, you know, I love Family Guy just because they really, they make nothing into something. And it's just, you know, like, you know, the Y2K, Twinkie Factory, you know, they just go on a Twinkie Factory and they just fill in the in-between. And it's more, not so much dark comedy or even thought-out comedy. It's more like, let's throw something in there, and we're going to get a laugh, or not get a laugh, but who cares, you know, it's Family Guy, we got 30 other fucking jokes in the show. It's not based off of one long-haul joke, it's more like 30 jokes in one episode, and just hope half of them work, you know, and I really enjoy that, you know, Family Guy, South Park, both making me laugh, Simpsons, I think that's for old people, that's funny. And, you know, yeah, just Family Guy, you know, I think they're fucking hysterical. They put a whole shit ton of jokes. They put parodies in the shit. They do the Blue Harvest. you know, they make fun of Wizard of Oz, Law and Order, you know, King of the Hill. They do the crossovers, you know, just everything. So.
Okay. All right. Very good. Round over. Daniel, we're going to start with you. Who's getting the point from you?
I thought everyone had a good argument. I mean, classic episodes all around the board. I knew this was going to be the hardest category, that with characters. So I think I might have to go Baron. I think Baron, you know, he presented a lot, especially like the Scott Tenorman episode. And maybe it's because I grew up on South Park. I don't know. But, I mean, I grew up on Family Guy, too. But he really hit it home with the classic episodes. Family Guy and The Simpsons is chock full with them, too. But just the satire that South Park brings with their comedy and with their classic episodes. I could just think of too many on tap. So I'm giving my point to Baron.
All right. Eric.
They all make great points. This was a tough point. I'm going with my bud, Baron here.
He's coming back. All right. So that's 3 points now for Baron. I got to go with Kenny on this one. Even though I love South Park episodes, but Kenny just draws you in with every argument.
Yeah.
And every point. You know, this is why, like, if you would have stayed in the wrestling business, he would be a hell of a promo guy, because he would be able to talk. He could be selling out Madison Square Garden right now with his promos.
I never left the wrestling business. It left me. I'm ready to come back at any time.
Yeah.
And you got something on your nose, Doug.
In the brown. But yeah, so I'm giving my point to Kenny. So after three rounds.
Poor Skidmore.
He's still in it, though.
Yeah.
After three rounds, Kenny's got 4 points.
Yes.
Baron's got 3.
Yes.
And Tyler's got 2. So now it's still anybody's matchup. Now, here's actually probably not necessarily the hardest round. I think we went through the hardest rounds. But now we're going into the merchandise that each show has put out.
Yeah.
This will be the hardest round for people to formulate arguments for.
Huh?
Yep. This will be the hardest round to formulate arguments for.
Yeah, well, just for sake of the show, we got to do it. So, Baron, we'll start with you. Talk about South Park's merchandise.
Well, I guess I'm just biased towards South Park merchandise because I have more of it than the other two shows. But I feel like in this day and age, I just see more people wearing South Park merchandise than the other two. But then, like, Simpsons, they got, like, all the figures. Like, my uncle got, like, a bunch of Simpsons figures. So this is going to be a hard one. Simpsons merchandise, just, like, I mean, it's kind of hard to top it, but, like, I feel like just nowadays you definitely see more people rocking South Park merchandise than anything else.
Okay. All right. All right, Tyler, we'll go to you next.
Yeah, I mean, merchandise, you don't think it's hard, but I think it's one of the hardest things because – when you think of animated TV shows, you don't really, you know, you don't really look at, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, Mezco back in the early 2000s, they made a shit ton of toys about these shows. But, you know, I mean, they have action figures, you know, they got the clothing, they got the mugs, they, you know, everything. You know, you go on Amazon, you just type in Family Guy, Simpsons, South Park, you can get anything for anything. The only thing that you could really even argue for any of these shows would be the DVD and Blu-rays, you know? And, you know, really, just, there's not much to talk about merchandise. You can really get everything on anything because you live in a world of custom orders. You know, I can go out to Amazon or eBay. Well, I wouldn't suggest eBay. And, you know, you could buy, you know, Family Guy dildos and shit, you know. It's just there is a market for everything. You know, there's some action figures and Funko Pops and all that good stuff. But merchandise is just one of those things. It's everywhere. And, you know, I would just say, like, the merchandise is the reason why Family Guy came back after the second time it was canceled. That is the only reason it came back, was due to DVD sales. So that's about all I got on merchandise.
Okay. All right, Kenny, you're up.
Wow, yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to agree with all the guys because, number one, there's a shit ton of merchandise for every one of these shows. I will say there's one obvious example where South Park has, I don't know if I'd say outshine, but definitely surpassed slightly. The other two is in the video game market. South Park has one or two rather well-reviewed games compared to the other ones. Family Guy had one game, was not well-received. And The Simpsons have a shit ton of mediocre games with maybe two or three that were positively reviewed. So there is that. The things I have of The Simpsons, they're Simpsons Library of Wisdom. They're like little books maybe by like 5x5 books, you know? And they're just like, and they're each character, even comic book guy has one and all these other characters, and they do, they're just little, like, funny things about the characters and things they like, things they don't like. So that's the merchandise I have. I even have a Homer Simpson reading light, which is ridiculous because it's an LED and it's supposed to be a reading light, and a reading light isn't supposed to blind you, but it does. And there's stuff for everything. I mean, The Simpsons have merchandise so much. There's even a playset of the Island of Dr. Hibbert. So not even just a Dr. Hibbert action figure. It's a specific Dr. Hibbert action figure from one Treehouse of Horrors episode. There's so much crap from all these shows, and that doesn't even include the crap that's not even authorized. You know, like the El Barto and the Rastafarian Barts and all these other things that, you know, unauthorized merch and stuff. It's crazy how much merchandise there are for all these shows. Again, I don't have a lot. I don't know anybody who has a lot. Just by sheer volume and time, The Simpsons, of course, excuse me, have the most. That's basically for that. I want to take a moment here to bring up, if I had picked a show that I would argue for, it probably have been Bobby Burgers, which in some way has taken the position of The Simpsons as like the family-centric animated cartoon, where now The Simpsons is really experimental and out there, and it's less grounded. And also, we talked about King of the Hill, and the interesting about King of the Hill, compared to other animated shows, the King of the Hill is timed and paced like a regular sitcom, like with living people. And that's why there are some people like myself who, well, found it funny, didn't love it, because it's paced very weird compared to The Simpsons or Family Guy or South Park. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. All right. So I think, like, down the line we have to, because he just brought these up and they brought up Rick and Morty later on. The next time we do an adult animation, you know, debate, an adult animation settle in the ring, it's got to be Bob's Burgers versus King of the Hill versus Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
But that'll
Rick
be
and Morty well,
been... that'll be somewhere down the line. All right, ding ding. I know everybody just said it was going to be difficult, so this might actually be a shorter round. But Baron, we'll start with you. Why does South Park have better merchandise than The Simpsons and Family Guy?
I do think the South Park video games beat out the other two pretty good. Even though I do love a Simpsons Hit and Run on PS2, that's my shit, really. On Xbox, like, South Park has two games that are absolutely amazing. If you like storyline games for Xbox, I would highly recommend Stick of Truth and Fractured the Whole, because those are great.
We have them.
You got them? Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Family Guy one for PSP. Like, I don't think that one's like as good though. It's cool. But, like,
I think it sucked.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Well,
there
you are.
But like, it ain't Stick of Truth or Fractured Butthole. And I heard they're coming out with a new one kind of soon.
Good. All right. Tyler, does Family Guy have better merchandise than The Simpsons and South Park?
The only game that I really do think is better than both, you know, South Park and then The Simpsons, is for your phone, you know, the Quest for Stuff. You know, that is a huge game. It's very popular. And, you know, The Simpsons has the one on the mobile phone, too. You know, it's just not as good, though, as the Quest for Stuff. South Park, I really don't even know if South Park has a game for your phone. Merchant, but yeah, other than that, you know, just DVD sales for Family Guy was really what held them together, because Family Guy is what, a $2 billion operation, and a quarter of that came from DVD sales. So I really do think Family Guy's DVDs and stuff like that, they sell a lot better than the other two. But when it comes to like Xbox, PlayStation, GameCube, anything like that, I don't think Family Guy is great at video games, except for this mobile phone one, because I really do like this one. But that's about all I got.
Okay. Kenny, why does The Simpsons have better merchandise than Family Guy and South Park?
I don't know. I don't care about the merchandise. I don't. But on the DVDs, I don't have the merchandise. Now, I will say, I haven't seen any of the South Park DVDs. I haven't seen any of the Family Guy DVDs. I will say, the DVDs that The Simpsons put out, at least the initial releases, the ones in the cardboard boxes, not the head boxes, which I hate because they don't fit on the shelf properly, were nicely done. They had a little booklet. They had a lot of extra stuff in them, a lot of commentary tracks, a lot of little Easter eggs. So, I mean, that was a well-done piece of product. Now, like I said, I'm sure, at least for Family Guy, probably something very similar because they're a Fox product, you know, so I'm sure they're comparable. And, you know, I think that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have probably got some good stuff in there. They're smarter guys, at least most of the time. So, you know, I'm sure they have quality merchandise. I just think The Simpsons have the advantage because they've been doing it longer. And they've been doing it. They've had, you know, the Fox empire behind them.
Right.
And they're starting.
All right. Right. All right. Ding, ding. End of the round. Eric, we're going to start with you. Who are you giving?
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Eric, who are you giving your final point to?
As much as I love The Simpsons, I think Barry made the best point, so I'm going to give my point to Barry.
Well, shoot, right. Game tied.
Daniel, you're up next.
You know what? I'm giving a point to Tyler. I've got to give my boy a point.
All right. So... I got it. So, all right. So he's got 3 points. It's tied at 4 between Kenny and Baron, and I got to break the tie.
Unless you want to vote for Tyler.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Three-way tie. This is biased.
If
talk.
You think Tyler had the good argument, give him the point, and it's a three-way tie. And it'll
all
lead into the next debate.
Well, don't tell him about a book.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Baron probably had... Because Kenny had automatically just said, I don't care about the merchandise.
He's throwing another round at you.
But I think that's, reverse psychology.
Yeah. And if anybody's good at it, it's him. But I'm actually going to give the point, because Tyler made a good point about the DVD sale.
Let's go.
Okay.
He made a good point about the TV details. However, you got to look at the video game. People care more about video games now.
That's real.
Okay. Then they do DVD sales, but that's just because, you know, everything's on a fucking streaming service.
Doug, not to gild the lily here or anything, but to be fair, exactly in terms of merchandise, Family Guy was saved by it. I mean, if you look at the reasons behind it.
Right. It's true. It saved the show.
Exactly. So, therefore, let's three-way tie it. I'm giving my point to Tyler.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Wow.
We got a three-way tie.
Tonight, boys.
All right. So we can't just end the show on a fucking tie. I was not prepared for this. However, well, I'm getting to it, Eric. All right. So technically, since the concept is called Settle It in the Ring and it's a wrestling show.
Yeah.
All right. We talked earlier about the characters from all three shows, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, back in 1998, WCW did a thing where they did a three-team match in War Games, right?
Yeah.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of, each guy is going to pick three characters from their show in a team.
Yeah.
And then the three of us are going to pick which team is better.
Let's just make it one round, though. No ding, ding, ding shit. I got shit to do.
Yeah, no. So it's not going to be an argument. It's just going to be give us who your three-man team is. Kenny, we're going to start with you. Who's your three-man – or doesn't even have to be a three-man team. You can throw a female character in there. Who's your three-person team from the Simpsons?
Okay. We got number one, Groundskeeper Willie. Ripped fucking Scotsman, ass-kicking drunk. Number two, we got Principal Skinner, Vietnam veteran, trained killer of men. And number three, we're going to go with comic book guy, because who can lift the fat fuck up?
All right. Very good. All right. Tyler, who represents Team Family Guy?
All right. You know, I got to go with experience. You know what I mean? I have to go with Peter and the Giant Chicken. That's obviously an obvious. You know, they just fight all day. You can throw a fucking airplane at them. Nothing fucking happens. They keep on fighting day in, day out. They're beasts. They are Irish warriors. It is what it is. And for my third... I would have to go with Joe Swanson before he lost his legs in that special.
When he had the afro?
Yeah, like before he fell off the roof when he was out there.
Oh, yeah.
Even in a wheelchair. You remember when he beat up all those midget drug dealers?
Yeah.
I remember Joe Swanson.
Yep.
Joe Swanson. With or without legs, you pick. I don't even care. Joe doesn't even need legs for me to win this.
All right. Moving along here. Baron, who's your three-person team representing South Park?
Well, obviously Cartman. And then I'm going to have to go with Kyle, because what's Cartman without his arch-enemy Kyle to bicker with and fight with about Jews and all that? And then Randy, because Randy is just the funniest out of all the parents, and, like, a lot of episodes revolve around him, and he's just hilarious. And, like, the specials pretty much all revolved around Randy.
All right. So we got Team Simpsons, Groundskeeper Willie, Principal Skinner, comic book. We have Team Family Guy, Peter the Chicken, and Joe Swanson.
His name is Ernie. It's Ernie the Giant Chicken. It's not all just the chicken.
Show him some respect.
Though. All right, so you say he's Murray the Giant.
Ernie.
Right. Ernie the Giant. All right, and Joe Swanson and Peter. And then Team South Park, we got Cartman, Kyle, and Randy Marsh.
Yes.
All right.
Children.
Daniel. Daniel, we're starting with you. Who assembled the better team?
Wait, are we doing, like, winning a fight or, like who's the better
character? Just who's more iconic.
All right.
Because I don't think Cartman's like 12.
Right? All right. Who assembled the better team? Who assembled the better team of characters?
Okay. Well, then I got to cancel my good dear, one of my best friends on Earth, Tyler Skidmore, because the giant chicken, he's just there to beat Peter's ass. I don't know if that's that interesting.
Wait, you said win in a fight.
Yes,
you did. He said wrestling, and it would be winning a fight.
I said, put a team together, we're going to vote for the better team.
All right, so we're voting for the – do you want to switch out the chicken with anybody? I'll give you a fighting shot.
Okay. Whatever criteria in your head makes them the better team. It doesn't matter what the criteria is. We don't care. The three of you pick the points.
Okay.
I'm a stick with it, but I'm just upset with you guys for
All right. I'm giving my point to Baron. I think the three characters that he picked mean more to the show. Comic book guy, as much as I probably relate to him. I don't know. He's the heart of the show, so I'm going Baron.
All right, Eric.
As much as I want to pick Kenny, but he didn't pick Homer, so I'll have to go with Baron.
Then do it. Pick me. Don't listen to your heart.
All right. Now, even though technically Baron just won, I still have to go with Kenny because I think he picked the important side characters. Because that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah.
So even though my opinion right now does not mean shit, we'll end it on a high note for Kenny, and then I would have given my point to him.
Congratulations, Baron, the new Settle of the Ring champion.
What's up, Park?
Sorry, Kenny.
Kenny,
I never seen boys. Philly, but I'll be there to kick your ass in the morning.
All right, Doug, so
maybe a cheesesteak will calm me down.
All right, guys. All right, this was awesome. Everybody had great arguments for this. It was tremendous content. I think our numbers are going to spike.
Thank you, Tyler, Kenny, and Baron for all coming on.
Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate you coming up and giving us your knowledge on these shows.
Thanks for the invite, boys. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Baron. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Eric.
Yes, sir.
Nobody has to thank me.
have a good one, everyone.
Well, right. Thank you, Doug.
Guys. We'll see everybody next week.
Thank you, Doug, for being a great host.